Thank you guys for encouraging us, inspiring us this morning, lift our voices to the Lord, and we do welcome the Lord here with us today. He is always with us, but we gather in His name today. Welcome to church this morning. Today is a unique service, a little different kind of service today, it being the annual meeting, and so we're going to talk about some things and kind of incorporate some Word of God into giving a reflection of looking back and looking forward to this body of Christ here at Living Word Fellowship. One thing I want to encourage you in later on the service, as we kind of walk through some things, I'm going to give you an opportunity to just share how have you been experiencing the church this last year. You know, how has God ministered to you, or someone encouraged you, or being a part of something within the body of Christ, and how that life of the church really fleshes itself out. Just with the mics, I just kind of wanted to kind of let you think about that, pray about that, see how the Lord might have you share with us today. Let's start by passing the welcome folders on down the rows. Those will be in the left-hand chair. You know, sometimes we miss that. You know, we'll be looking at those on a Monday morning, and maybe half of us put down that we were here today, and they didn't get down the rows, that kind of thing. So if you, whatever row you're in, make sure that little welcome folder comes on down the row, and you have the opportunity to put your name down, any prayer requests and things like that. As we're doing that, let's go ahead and cover a few announcements in our bulletin this morning. If we open up right into the middle, just want to remind you again, we presented Scott Mabbs as elder candidate 3 weeks ago. That's been going good, and right in there is if you have any questions or concerns on the procedure of how you would handle that, give the church a month to express their concerns or their affirmation, however that would go of us going forward in that. We plan on presenting Scott as an elder next week. We'll see how that goes. And if you look in your bulletin also right across the page, today's a Mexican Fiesta potluck. We're excited about that. Looked over there, a lot of food going on over there. I'm looking forward to hanging out with you guys and having some time together with that. I'm sure we all are. I'd like to encourage you to do that. Enjoy a meal together, fellowship together, plenty of food to do that. Right above that, we want to welcome into this life, Rhett Darrell Clifton, born January 16, 2019. We can give you a round of applause. Don't you love the details in there? It was 7 pounds, 9.5 ounces, okay? That's okay. 21 inches long. Parents are Ryan and Rachel Clifton. Grandparents, Monty and Cheryl Clifton. And great-grandparents are Leroy and Pat Spooler. So congratulations, you guys. Always exciting part of... Okay, if I could get you to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. For the opening scripture reading, we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to start at verse 4 and kind of go on from there. And I'm going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, start at verse 4 for the opening scripture reading. With today being about us as God's church and us carrying out the responsibility as God's church, that's what we're looking at. Are we living the way God has asked us to live? Are we doing the things that God has told us in His Word to do, that kind of thing. We make that evaluation. That's what an annual meeting is, and we'll look more detail on that today. 1 Corinthians 12, the Apostle Paul, in verse 4 and following, what he does is he describes for us the life of the church in this dynamic. Beginning in verse 4, and we'll just kind of follow through there and make a few comments in there. So the Apostle Paul writes, "Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are a variety of ministries, and the same Lord, and there are a variety of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." So you see in there what God is saying. There's a variety of gifts, variety of ministries, variety of effects. That's the church family and everything going on in us serving each other and being part of the body of Christ and all that's going on. There's a big variety of it, but it's God who's over this. As he says, "But God has given us the manifestation of the Spirit, that's the gifts that we have from God, for the common good." Verse 11 says that, "But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills." So God is over all of this, and the gifts, the talents, and the effects, and the ministries that we have, and how we serve. "For even as the body is one, and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ." Verse 13, "For by one Spirit we have all been baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we are all made to drink of one Spirit." And so the church is gifted by God to do the work of God, and we are all together in this, for God is working on that in our lives. And then he goes on, listen to what he says. For the body is not one member, but many. We would agree with that, just like your physical body is, the church family. It's not just one member. We're all members. We all have different things we do. If the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I'm not part of the body, is it not for this reason any less part of the body? And if the ear says, because I'm an eye, I'm not part of the body, is it not for this reason any less part of the body? It's not really distinguished, is it? We're just who we are. We're the church family, and God is using us all in different ways and shapes and manner, but we're all working together. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? And if the whole were and if the whole were a hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desires. That's such an encouragement for today, isn't it? Because God is working this out. God is bringing us together. God has placed us together. He's the one building his church. We are just doing what God has called us to do. But God is the one building his church, bringing it together, as Ephesians says, fitly framing it together. We'll look at that, a little bit of that today. So then he concludes, he goes on, listen to what he says. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And an eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. We all need each other, right? On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor. And our less presentable members become much more presentable. Whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body and individual members of it. Such an encouraging message, and you know, just the word of God and how it promotes what we're going to be talking about today. Let's go before the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you for your design, your purpose for the church, your plan for us, Lord, for how you're working by your power and by your spirit, bringing us together to represent the truth of Christ, to live for you, to function well, all the things, Lord, that you have designed. We are like a body. We need each part. Lord, each one has a function and a purpose. And for us, Lord, it is to present the saving work of Jesus Christ. It's to be a living testimony of the transforming work of believing in Christ and what that is. So we thank you for today and all that you're doing in each one of our lives. We thank you, Lord, that you hold us dear to you and that you are our comforter, you are our guide, you are our leader, you are who we worship. Today we pray, Lord, that this service would honor you as we would reflect back on how we've lived our life as your church this past year and look forward to what lies ahead. We just give you praise in Christ's name. Amen. Josh, would you lead us in a few more songs?
Let's stand as we worship. Shine, Jesus, shine.
Shining, Jesus, light of the world, shines upon us, set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine on me, shine on me, shine, Jesus, shine. Glory. fill this land with the Father's glory. Lay Spirit, place, set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow, flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. Send forth your word, Lord. You are good when there's nothing good in me. You are love on display for all to see. You are light when the darkness closes in. You are hope, you have covered all my sin. You are peace, you are peace. My fear is crippling. You are true, even in my wandering. You are joy, you're the reason that I sing. You are life, in your death has lost its sting. Oh, I'm running to your arms. I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world, forever reign. And you are more.
Jesus, Jesus,
my heart will sing. No other name, Jesus, Jesus.
Great is thy faithfulness. Seated.
I'm going to go ahead and ask you to grab your outline out of your bulletin there. We're going to kind of cover that. I put some notes in here. I put it from our Constitution, and this is what we're going to walk through today. We're going to cover the annual meeting from it. That's why it says right at the top, annual meeting. And if you look right at the top with me, it says this. It says, the membership shall meet annually in the first quarter. That's first quarter of the year, which is what we do every fourth Sunday of January, or the last Sunday in January. for the purpose of evaluating together the progress of the church toward meeting its stated objectives. And that's in Article 3 of our Constitution. So that's what this that's what today's about. We do it as a worship unto the Lord. We do it, we'll incorporate some of God's word as we walk through this and that kind of thing. But it's important for us as a, you do that as your family, don't you? You know, you just kind of look, how are we doing, sweetie? You know, that kind of thing. Are we, you know, this is, okay, so Krista calls me sweetie, I know. Yeah. No, but isn't that true? I mean, as a church family, especially the newer or the younger ones that are here today, you know, listening to this, you might think, but think about it. This is the body of Christ. This is God's church. He's the one that saves. He's the one that sanctifies God and through faith in Jesus Christ, brings us in, places us in a body of Christ, in a church family. And then he has some things for us to do in this life that glorify him. He has a plan and a purpose for us. And so as we as a church, what we do is we look back, we kind of look back and look forward on how we're doing with that. And it's important for us to do that, you know, and it's okay to, if you look on the back of your bulletin, it says right on here, if you have any questions concerning our purpose as God's church or ministry or leadership or doctrinal stance or finance or budget or anything that you have a question about, the elders here at Living Word Fellowship, we welcome your questions because we desire for us to have clarity together on the God's purpose for the church and us living that out. And if you have any questions on that, we're fine. We want to talk about those. So you can write it on here and turn it in the offering box, or like it says it here, you can request an elder to call. So if you want to put it in, hey, can you call me, Pastor Ken, about this? We want to do that. We want to go with that. Because we're in this together. We've read that today in 1 Corinthians. We're going to read it in some other scriptures today. But we're in this together. Because that's how God has designed it. And so we look back on how we are doing. And the stated objectives for Living Word Fellowship come under worship and work and witness is how we kind of put that, gives us an outline for that. And the first one there is to worship God and glorify God. Look at what it says there. The chief objective of Living Word Fellowship would be to glorify God. In recognition of this purpose, we will endeavor to conduct our lives and services in a worshipful way with the reality of God in view, so that we may ascribe to him and reflect back to him as he enables the characteristics of what he is, especially his truth, holiness, and love. We have some scriptures there. But that's in our Constitution. That's a stated objective of why we do what we do, what we're here for, the purpose of the church, our lives. We're trying to glorify God with our lives. We're trying to worship him, give him all honor and adoration in all that we do, not just as we meet, but in all of our lives. And all the time through the week, we're to encourage each other. You're the church. When you're Monday, you guys know that, right? We just gather here. This is Living Word Fellowship where we gather, but we are the church each and every day, all day in our lives, and that's what our objective is this is from the Word of God to do that. In Ephesians 1, 3 through 14, let me just kind of run through that, what that says. I won't have you turn there, but it tells us this about our salvation in Ephesians 1, 3 through 14. Let me just kind of paraphrase it. It tells us this about our salvation, all of it, from being blessed with every spiritual blessing, from being chosen to be holy and blameless before the Lord, from the grace that we have received for the forgiveness of our sins that's lavished upon us, to the receiving of the kind intentions of God's will, to obtaining the inheritance according to God's purpose, to receiving the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to be God's own people, his own possession, all of our salvation. It says this in that. It's to the praise of his glory and his grace. It's not to the praise and the glory of mine. It's not the praise and glory of us. It's to the praise and the glory of his grace. It's to the praise of him. It's to the praise, meaning to the recognition of his glory and to the recognition of his grace. Our salvation is. That's just true. That he did this is for his glory. And for us to recognize his grace. That's what we seek to do here at Living Word Fellowship. So our lives now, how we live and what we live for is to be in recognition of his glory and his grace. That's what we seek to do. And we look back, how are we doing? Well, I love the word sanctification because that's how we're doing. God is growing us. We're all moving in that direction wherever we're at. And so Pastor Tom has put together a slideshow for us. Go ahead and come up, Pastor Tom. which kind of looks back, and it just shows some things that we've reflects back at this last year in our worship of God, in our desire to glorify Him. Go ahead.
Let me introduce it just a little bit here. Pastor Ken read the passage in 1 Corinthians 12 earlier, which talks about how some of the most important parts of the body are those parts that are not seen, and they don't get the same kind of recognition that others do. I learned that lesson in a little conversation I had a number of years ago. Linda and I have good friends who work with Wycliffe Bible Translators. I've talked about them before. And we were visiting one of the main offices south of Dallas in Duncanville, and we were leaving, and as we were leaving, my friend Andrew said, "Hey, would you guys like to meet Rachel Saint?" There she was walking along the road. And Rachel Saint is the sister of Nate Saint, who was one of the five missionaries that was killed in Ecuador back in 1956. Those five people that were martyred there. Lots of books have been written, movies have been made about all that, and then great things have come out of all that. So yes, we'd like to meet Rachel Saint, and I'd read some of those books. And so as we were having a conversation there, I said to her how influenced I had been and how I appreciated reading those books and so forth and hearing about that ministry and knowing that others had too. And so I was just, you know, kind of building up ministry up and everything. And then she said something to me I've never forgotten. She said, "Well, for some reason, God in His sovereignty chose to shine a light on our particular ministry. But then," she said, "there are hundreds and even thousands of other ministries that are far more significant all around the world that only God and just a handful of people know anything about." And that was just profound to me. And I say that today to say that while we're going to look back at some of the ministries, some of the ones that are far more important only God and just a few of you people know about. So when we put pictures together, I'm limited to where I was. I'm not omnipresent. And I don't always have my camera with me everywhere. But we live in an interesting time, don't we, in terms of things are video. You know, you pull your camera out. And, I mean, I remember as a little boy, my grandfather had a mysterious dark room. And he had this mysterious little camera. And he'd take a picture. And then he'd go into that dark room. And he'd come out. And there'd be a picture of me as a little boy trying to push that big lawnmower that, you know, you had to push with your hand. You know, couldn't do it. But so what I say all that to kind of, that's kind of my explanation is saying your ministry might not be represented in these pictures, but God knows about it. But it's just kind of a way of looking back, and so we'll see where it goes. But it's kind of fun to say the boys and girls are a significant part of our ministry, our teens are a part of their ministry, everyone here is a part of that, part of the body of Christ. So with that in mind, we'll... Thank you.
with the chief objective being for us to endeavor to worship and glorify God, and then the next objective to describe by his word of work. Look at it with me. A consequent purpose of Living Word Fellowship will be to edify one another, that is, to build up one another toward Christ-like maturity. This will call for the sharing of God's word, for the publishing of whatever materials will aid in the spiritual growth, for the living of holy lives, and for a loving fellowship in the things of Christ, sharing whatever we have with one another as others may have need, as God may direct. So we have worship and now work, building up the body of Christ, maturing the saints, however you want to see that. A lot of ways it's described. And so, you know, as we look back in the year, what would you share? You can go raise your hand, the usher come by. What would you share about just how you experienced this life of the church, the ministry of the church, in any way that it might be? Maybe it was experienced in a Bible study, either men's retreat, shepherding group, Awana Club, nursery ministry, any of the ministries that we're involved in. Because that God is at work in our lives is just such a big dynamic in a sense to look back at, to remember, to reflect upon. So how would you share that? They'll bring you a mic, so raise your hand up so they can see you.
I wanted to reflect back on this year on Awana, and I wanted to talk about the children that we've had this year and how much of a huge inspiration it is for me personally, because seeing these kids come to Awana and, you know, my group, they come up to me and they always get so excited and so piped up to say their verses and to learn more about Christ, you know. Little Frank was coming up to me one night and he asked me, you know, what was the story after Noah's Ark and everything? And I told him, well, if you want to know, I can happily read with you in the Bible, you know, and we can learn about that story. And, you know, and also, I also want to say Zane and James that are in my group, they are my star students. They are always, you know, on their verses and wanting to learn more and reading them. And, you know, it's such an inspiration to me to see these kids growing in Christ and having, you know, growing a faith and being able to have a love for him and wanting to learn more and having a determination to learn more. And, you know, and me as a person, as an older, you know, teenager and everything, and I'm still growing my faith, and, you know, seeing these kids is so amazing to see, and that always puts a smile on my face and always, you know, brings me up whenever I'm kind of feeling down, because these kids are just, they love God, and they're always willing to learn more and always willing to read verses and memorize them and say them. And, you know, it's not just about the Awana bucks they get at the end of the night. It's about learning about Christ and seeing these kids, and they have such a bright future ahead of them. And, you know, the world needs more kids that, you know, have a strong faith in Christ, because there's people out there that are lost in their faith. There's adults, you know, elders out there who just, you know, they become discouraged, or, you know, they lose, you know, faith and lose hope. And seeing these kids will really bring you up whenever you think that you're just at your lowest. And, you know, I've been going through so much this past year. I've been doing so much. I'm building more confidence. I'm building positivity, happiness, and more of a want to learn more so I can share more. So that's what I wanted to share.
Amen.
I'd just like to say that Roberta and I get these cards from the high schoolers and kids, and it means so much to us to have those cards come. They come just the right time, just the right verses, just what we needed to have. And I just thank the whole church for all the prayer for our Roberta while she was going, and all the prayer that goes out. And all you got to do is ask in their prayer. I thank you for that.
Amen. you know, sometimes the younger people, the children, don't recognize just their willingness of heart and their desire to seek after God and to do things like write a note. Such a big part of the family of God and encouragement. It's good to recognize that. It is experiencing the things that God wants us to in maturing and growing each and every one of us. Who else will share? They're working their way to you guys.
I've also been encouraged with the youth in this body. We've started a young lady spiritual mothering class once a month, and we have about 10 to 15 girls that come every time with three or four moms, so we have a pretty big group there, and it's been so encouraging to see these young ladies getting excited about really trying to understand more and more what it really means to have the gospel change their life. And I've just been, it's so fun to watch them, just like you're saying, Noelle, just to see them get excited about things. And we have a pretty competitive round of Jeopardy every time at my house. It's really fun. But yeah, just to continue, just encouraging any of you youth who aren't coming to the ladies group, it's so encouraging. It's age 6th to 12th grade on the second Tuesday of the month at our place, but it's been very encouraging.
Thank you.
So being relatively new in the last year, it's been fun to look back on the slides and see what we missed in the first 6 months but what we got to participate on in the last 6 months. Been a great blessing. I think first and foremost, the sound doctrine of this church has been a blessing for us as a family. The high view of Scripture, that Christ, we looked for Christ to become greater and our individuals to become less in that, to be lost in that, is good. The structure of the church, how we corporately worship, has been a huge focus for us as a family, bringing all of our kids in the church, raising them up in that. We see that in our daily conversations, and James will be up just sucking his thumb, humming a hymn that he never would have had been in his heart had he not been sitting here singing with all of us and listening to worship all his little life. And to see other families having that like mind has been a big blessing. I had to write stuff down because I'll forget. The active and maturity of the membership here, the activity, seeing people serve the church in their gifting, whether it be ushering or just greeting at the door, or even just, I see folks just cleaning up after church. They never say a word. They're just making sure that the church is tidy. And from teaching down to serving, not down, but just across the deck and as far as the equal ground at the foot of the cross, what we can bring has been a blessing for us to witness. We see the diversity in the congregation, both in age and youth and singleness and married and even divorced folks healing up. To see that diversity is big for us. Don't always have that. Homeschool, public school, seeing it doing very well, not dogmatic about how we where God has us in our families, in our lives, running alongside of each other, and all of that is huge for us, for our family to see. Sending kids off to missions, you know, the Mock family, and seeing that happen right when we first came here, so the first month or so, we saw her being sent out. And then local missions, as people involved locally in the mission of the church, has been huge. The fact that we have unity amongst our diversity, right? So what unifies us is getting about God's kingdom, growing it in his glory. And then the generosity, obviously, we wouldn't have all this beautiful church. And last two churches we've been a part of, we've just leased the school, cafeteria, whatever, and having to set up and break down. And there's something nice about simple church and being lean fiscally, but there's also a nice thing about having your own place to call home and the rest that brings. Anyway, so thank you, Living Word, for being faithful and welcoming our family so well and giving us a place just to call home. So thank you.
Thank you, Ryan. You know, as time, we have just a certain amount of time today, that kind of thing, so I'm going to kind of move on here. Andy Reinsberger, where are you at, Andy? He's going to come up and he's going to share his heart from the financial perspective of living, of the life of this church family. He has a couple other things he wants to share with us, I think, right?
Like one
thing, you will go from right here.
on a personal note, what God has been showing me this year is how in challenges, it's such an opportunity to glorify Him. And obviously, I haven't done that very well, but just we never want challenges, but when they come, what an opportunity it is to show to show what how God takes care of us, to lean on His understanding, and it's just, you know, it's a neat thing. On the finances, it's been a really good year for finances. We have, where's Elder Dwayne? He's our secretary, I mean our treasurer, and I think James is here also. But I don't see Randy. Randy's also on the committee and myself. This year, we projected income to be, or offerings to be, $340,000. We fell a little short, $152. I don't think we've ever been that close ever. And our expenses were $369, and these numbers aren't going to add up because there's other offerings that we don't count as offerings of the church. But anyway, the bottom line is after our capital expenditures and everything, we had $332 surplus. And I'm not going to get into a lot of numbers, but if you are interested in that, they're in the back, and the budgets are in the back. For the next year, we are looking for projected offerings of $395. And the why that's up so much is we got challenged by James to really trust God and that He was going to make us have a balanced budget. And before, we always would have a negative budget and think that God would take care of us, but we put that minus sign in there. Well, this year, we're just going to make it even so that minus sign isn't there anymore. And the reason why the budget's up a little bit is we're going to try to seal the parking lot and outside of the church. We got a trip to Oaxaca, and we sound and visual is going to be a little bit up. And let me see. I got my cheat notes here. Oh, and we're going to redo the cry room. So that's the big budget items. Besides that, I think that finances are going really well. Our committee really works well together. We challenge each other, but yet in the end, we all can agree on things. So that's it.
Thank you, Andy. And just for, again, to back there on the back table, there is the end of the year, December's financial report. So it looks back to 2018, and then the budget for 2019 is there. If you have any questions, concerns, want to look at that also. So as we would kind of think about this, so as we evaluate how we've been doing, and we just kind of look at that in a brief way on this service today, but look at it in a depth way in our heart, right? Really kind of thinking about where our lives are at. Yes, we think about it corporately as the body of Christ, this church, as we're doing that in this time of year that we do that. And just thinking about how are we doing as Christ Church? And are we carrying out the objectives that are there that we have stated are from God's word? But we do that individually too, don't we? You know, and isn't it great, amazing, however you want to look at that, how much grace has been lavished upon us, because it isn't about perfection. It's about surrender, isn't it? It's about a willingness of our heart to let God lead our lives and guide us along in the life that we have. And it's important how we live. It's important our relationship with God and us serving Him and becoming a light for Christ more and more in our lives and all of that. And that's going to kind of bring us to our last one here. But it's something that we all do. And, you know, we're going to have time in a potluck over there today to where we can just talk about, you know, in our lives about how God has been ministering to us, how we've been growing as a church, or how we've been working through some of the difficult things that we have in our lives, because we're a church family. So we want to worship the Lord. We want to grow in glorifying Him. We recognize that that's God's call in our life for to do that. We're to work. We're to be building up the church, the body of Christ, for us to be Christ-like. We're to be sharing in the things God has provided for us. And the last one is witness. If you look at it with me. And it says it this way, as well as edification. So here's the thing. You know, we're going to glorify God with our lives, worship God each and every day, and we're growing in that. And then in that, there's two kind of things we do. We mature the saints, we grow in more Christ-likeness, and then we win the lost. We witness to the world. They go hand in hand. You know, I've kind of put it this way. If you're a, if you're a Rams fan, since that's happening next Sunday, right? So you're a Rams fan, right? You're woohoo, and you're a Rams fan, and you support him, that team, and all that kind of stuff. You kind of wear Rams gear, don't you? If you're a Rams fan, don't you cheer for the Rams? Right? Your life reflects that you're a Rams fan. Do you walk around in a Raider uniform if you're a Rams fan? Not necessarily, right? I guess some of us don't know football, so that might be just going right over our head, any of that kind of thing. But, you know, what we are is we're really fans of the Lord, aren't we? The saving work of Jesus Christ, the saving grace of God, we've been brought into the family of God. We belong to Christ, right? Our lives are to reflect that we are. And so when we look at mature the saints or we look at the build up the body of Christ, what we're doing is in our lives is to reflect the transforming truth of Jesus Christ. Because our words about sharing Christ, our witness, that's what we're, as well as edification, a parallel purpose of living word fellowship, will be to involve our lives in worldwide evangelism. This may be accomplished by declaring God's good news about Christ to those who live near us, and by making available time, talent, and treasure for the ministry across the world. We will endeavor by God's power to manifest changed lives in our relationships and to show Christ's compassion whenever people are needy and suffering. So the witness part is sharing Jesus Christ, but a life that reflects the importance of what it is to be saved, right? So we're going to tell people about Jesus Christ and this saving work. Our relationship with each other, our relationship with the Lord comes out, stands behind the words that we say. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? Amen. He is the only hope for anybody in this life to have eternal life, right? Right? And apart from that, you're going to spend eternity away from God. Basic bottom line truth, right? And so the saving message of the gospel is to repent and believe and trust in Jesus Christ to be saved, right? That's the saving message of the gospel, right? Once saved, then God has your life, right? And you're learning to live it out. God's purpose and plan for creation, why Jesus came and all of that, where our lives should look like that's the saving message. Wouldn't you agree? We're in endeavoring to do that as Living Word Fellowship. Yes, we want to share Christ. Yes, we need to share Christ. We need to be a witness. But a witness is reflected by our life, isn't it? And that's very important to us because we know that's God's word and God's way. And that's how he guides and leads us. And so as we look back, we have a lot of places to grow, don't we? Because God's always growing his church. He's always maturing the saints. He's always working in our lives. But that's okay because that's the journey, right? But we are in this together and we see it that way and we go forward with our hearts set on the Lord, with here is it written down as our stated objectives to help us, guide us by God's word on where God is headed in our lives and in this body of Christ. But ultimately, it's our relationship with the Lord and the testimony of his saving grace in our lives. That's the review for our annual meeting. Elder Dwayne's going to come up and he's going to close us in pastoral prayer and then we're going to go have our potluck. Go ahead and come up, Dwayne.
I kind of like this concept. Business meeting, and then a meal. I need to remember that. Update on a few things. First, Mary Kloss. Mary Kloss has cancer. She's been going through chemo for quite a while. She went through chemo until she couldn't take it anymore. Her body was so weak. This week she went down south and was reevaluated and appraised. The chemo or the cancer is really cut back or not even present, so that's good. But she has some infections and they're life threatening, so keep her in your prayers, Sam and everybody. Deborah Weldon, she was here last week. She's had fluid in her lung and it's been drained multiple times. She also has cancer. And last Sunday, she wasn't feeling real good, and she went and ended up in the hospital, and she's been there all week. They're draining her lung, and then the plan is to put some chemo treatment directly in the lung. That doesn't sound like a lot of fun, but the fluids are coming in faster than it's draining, so keep her in your prayers too. You know, Ken mentioned Romans 8:18, and it's kind of interesting. This Bible isn't 25 or 30 years old, but I have a note on it, so I kind of moved it over. But on this verse, I have Craig Bowser. If you don't know why Craig Bowser suffered, you might want to talk to him about that. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. How can you compare a current suffering to the future glory of God? You really can't. I can't tell you what the future glory of God's going to be like, but boy, I want to be there. It's going to be amazing. So you think when we go through things like this, we really need to focus a little bit different. The source of our future glory is not from ourselves. It's from God. Believers are qualified to share in that glory. We are heirs with Christ. And suffering could be a part of our path here on earth. Could be. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for the reflection of the year. A lot happens in a year. It's just so neat to see our church body grow as a family. It's neat to see new faces, a growing body, and we just pray that we can be good stewards of that growth. Teach us where you want us to serve, how we can serve. How can each of us glorify the Lord here at church? It's kind of hard when we think of our daily witness, the community we're in, co-workers, schools, teachers, parents, family that's not saved. We're thankful for the devotion of the Awana group. It is so neat to see young people make decisions for Christ at that time. Thank you for their teachers there, and it's just an exciting time. The Wednesday night adult service, the women's Bible study. Our family is sure blessed by that. The men's group, men's retreat, Thursday morning group, Sunday school, shepherding groups, seniors, but most importantly, the one-on-one time with each other. We're thankful for the giving of the body, that the tithes and offerings covered our financial needs last year. Lord, we're thankful for that, and we pray for that to happen in the future years. We want to be good stewards of what you give us, and we really want to glorify you in the way we use it. The sharing of Christ's body through our needs, our struggles, and our praises. Pray especially for Mary Kloss and the whole Kloss family. Lord, our prayers are with them. We just ask for a hand of protection over the whole family. Be with Sam and help him to be strong through this, and with Mary as she fights for her life. Also with Deborah Weldon. A week in the hospital is a long time. We pray for the path that the doctors are going to use with her, and we just pray that she can be a witness to you, to her family that's not saved through this illness. Thankful that Ed Haney's here today. It's so good to see you, Ed. Blessed by Roberta Israel. In the hospital one day, 2 days later, she's at church. It's just neat to see the Israel's love for the Lord. Danny and the many others, such an encouragement. We ask that you would bless the meal to follow, and we're just so thankful for the structure here of the church and the planning that happened a long time ago, and we just ask to be good stewards of it. In Jesus' name, amen.